This is Kathy Ann, and I teach second grade in Baltimore, Maryland. Welcome to School of Practice on Edutopia Radio.
In this era of Chromebooks and smart boards, do you teach or require handwriting in your classroom? We asked Edutopia's community to weigh in.
I feel so strongly about them handwriting their notes because I have seen the difference in student understanding.
Drawing it out, writing it out, you're connecting the body and the brain together.
Writing by hand slows you down.
And I think we would see a change in learning if we do more handwriting and less on computer these days.
I'm Kristen Leong, an editor at Edutopia, and I'm also a former middle school teacher. When I was a student, handwriting was its own subject. We were graded on it all the way through middle school. But Common Core state standards in the early 2000s prioritized digital literacy and core subjects in classrooms. And that meant that handwriting instruction, especially cursive, took a back seat. More recently, there's been a handwriting resurgence, in part because newer research has emphasized that handwriting isn't just a skill, it's a tool for learning. Here's Edutopia's research editor, Yuki Terada.
Researchers asked five-year-olds to study letters and sounds, and then practice writing them through handwriting or typing. And the big insight from the study is that kids aren't just practicing their fine motor skills. They're linking together the shapes of the letters with the sounds and the movements of their hands. So handwriting helps develop literacy.
And that's just one study. There are many others that confirm the strong connection between the hand and the brain, which remains true as kids get older.
So for middle and high school students, there are also big benefits to writing by hand. They're improving their memory and their understanding of the material. They're processing the information more deeply. So the big takeaway isn't that we should never have kids typing, but we just want to be careful not to replace handwriting with typing.
Today, Brooke McKenzie is here to help us understand how to lay the foundations of handwriting in lower elementary classrooms. Brooke was an elementary teacher for a decade and then a reading specialist. She also wrote a wildly popular article about how to teach handwriting that generated a huge response from teachers in our community. Brooke will break handwriting down into four distinct skills. She'll also explain how to support kids who struggle with handwriting. Brooke's secret weapon may surprise you. Okay, let's get into it. I want to start by asking you to think back when you were in elementary school. What do you remember about learning handwriting?
It was interesting because I'm a lefty, and it was challenging for me to learn handwriting. And I think it was challenging for my teachers to help teach me how to write correctly. And as a lefty, I should have had my paper tilted the opposite way of everyone else. It's also interesting because handwriting has become a very salient topic for me personally because I have had a child who's now in kindergarten and she has some fine and gross motor struggles. And so handwriting is particularly difficult for her. And so I have been very vigilant about making sure that she's getting the proper practice, the proper tools, because I know how important getting the handwriting in early elementary school is.
Okay, and we know from research how important handwriting is for early literacy.
Yes.
I'm curious, how has the latest research affected how you teach handwriting?
I have definitely become much more intentional in my handwriting instruction. It is important that all senses are invoked, that they're looking at the word, they're saying the letters, and there's a physical component. Oftentimes, there's a skywriting component. Students are practicing the letters with large movements using their whole arm and much of their body, which is helpful in getting it into their body and therefore into their brain a lot more effectively.
Oh, I love this idea that reading and writing is something that we experience in our bodies.
Yes.
And not just our brains. There's a big multisensory component to this, right?
Yes. There's a lot of physical components that go into effective handwriting. If you think about it, I mean, posture, where your feet need to be on the floor. So it's really a whole body experience.
Okay, let's move on from research and talk about how to teach handwriting to early elementary students. How do you know when they're developmentally ready to learn to write?
With the very young students, such as preschool and kindergarten, it's watching their overall fine motor skills. Can they button their buttons? Can they zip their zippers? What do their cutting skills look like? Then, after that, a lot of it is pencil grip.
Pencil grip is interesting because I feel like that's one that we take for granted.
Yes.
When actually it can have a big impact to explicitly teach young learners how to hold a pencil. How do you do that?
Well, and it can also have its own developmental sequence. Students start out just by holding it in their hands, and then as students get stronger, helping them to form a correct pencil grip. Like, for instance, I would have my students put the pencil down with the point facing them and then just take their thumb, index finger, and middle finger and have those out and tuck the other two back. And sometimes for students that really struggle with that, I would tie a little ribbon or do like a little rubber band around the other, not too tight though, obviously, around the other two fingers just to keep them folded back. And then I would teach them to put their index finger and middle finger on one side of the pencil, their thumb on the other, and then flip it up. And then that sort of automatically puts the pencil in the right place. So that's one strategy. I'm a big fan of a pencil grip. I'm using a lot of pencil grips with my daughter right now, and also different kinds of pencils. Right now, we're using a thicker pencil. And then I also have her use golf pencils. Those can help you with the letter formation without sort of the extra weight on it.
And just to clarify, when you say pencil grip, you're talking about like the foam or gel things that you slide onto the end of a pencil that kids can use.
Yes.
And what do those do?
First of all, they make it more comfortable. It also just, it positions the hand in the correct way and just gives it a little more of that tactile input for how your hands should feel.
So rubber bands on pinky and ring fingers can help kids get the right grip with their thumb, index finger, and middle finger.
Yes.
And simple tools like fat pencils, shorter pencils, and grips can help too. Now, you break handwriting into four key skills. Pencil grip is one. The others are letter formation, legibility, and pacing. And I want to go through each of these and talk about them in more detail. But first, how much time should you be spending on handwriting instruction and practice per day or per week?
Handwriting practice can and should just be quick and dirty. It's not something that requires a lot of time. It's not like you need a 20-minute lesson on how to hold your pencil. When I taught kindergarten, we did have a weekly handwriting block where I was explicitly teaching them the letter formation. But even still, that really only took about 15, 20 minutes tops.
I want to circle back to something you just said, that handwriting instruction can be quick and dirty. But I assume that this does require a lot of ongoing practice. Kids are working on social studies or science, for example, and teachers are continuing to reinforce key concepts as they go, right?
Yes, definitely. And to clarify, when I say quick and dirty, I don't mean that it should just be a throwaway. You want to make sure that in that short amount of time that you are teaching your explicit handwriting instruction, that you are very intentional with it. And then as you move throughout the day, it really should be top of mind as much as possible. If you notice that a student is forming letters incorrectly, if you can go and remind them of their explicit instruction that you've given, do a little extra modeling if necessary. That's how the handwriting gets reinforced throughout the day.
After the break, we'll talk about how to teach each of those four skills. And if your students keep starting their letters at the bottom, Brooke has a song that can help. You do not want to miss this. Be right back. South by Southwest EDU returns to Austin, Texas, March 9th through 12th to celebrate big ideas in education. It's where teachers, researchers, and innovators come together to shape the future of the classroom. The four-day program offers opportunities to connect, discover new practices, and engage with pressing topics for learners everywhere. Learn more at sxswedu.com. LearnLifeLong.com. Okay, Brooke, let's dig in on those four skills: pencil grip, letter formation, legibility, and pacing. Now, you already described how to teach kids the right grip.
Yes.
When I was a middle school teacher, I saw some very creative pen and pencil holding, but like their handwriting was still really beautiful. How would you approach that?
I would still encourage the correct grip, because if they're not holding the pencil correctly, chances are they're doing something else with their body incorrectly as well. I think that tactile input of the correct pencil grip just impacts the whole body, which then just impacts the whole brain sensory connection.
Let's talk about letter formation. Now, if there is one handwriting rule that could be etched into stone, it's probably this one: always start at the top. But I also know that sometimes kids learn to write on their own before they arrive in kindergarten, and they can pick up some bad habits.
Yes.
Beth is a kindergarten teacher in Edutopia's community, and she is seeing this a lot. She wrote, "We teach proper letter formation. Each week we practice, and then when they go off to write, they resort to their bad habits of bottom up, etc." Brooke, do you have any advice for Beth?
You just gotta keep practicing. I have a song that I sing with the students. And sometimes if I notice a student writing a letter from the bottom to the top, I'll just kind of sing a couple bars of that song.
Wait, you gotta sing the song. What's the song?
Okay. "You always start your letters at the top. You always start your letters at the top. If you want to write a letter, then you better, you'd better start your letter at the top, at the top."
Yes. Brooke, did you make up that song yourself?
No, I did not. But then what I will often also do is, before they start writing, I'll just have them touch the top of their head. Every once in a while, if I notice a student doing the bottom-up writing, I'll touch the top of my head as a little visual cue, and then it kind of reminds them, like, oh yeah, that's right, start it from the top.
I know phonics instruction comes into play with letter formation. How do you teach kids to associate the letters that they're learning to write with the sounds that those letters make? This sounds like a good opportunity for multisensory learning.
Yes, and again, that's where the dictation comes in. And skywriting. When I say dictation, I mean that I'll say a letter sound and the students will write it. So when we're learning new letters, you know, we're skywriting it, we're writing it on the whiteboard, and we are writing it in our notebooks. Now, I personally will also sometimes put movements to sounds, and I teach a lot through songs. So when I'm teaching the letter A, I'll have them turn their arms into alligator mouths and clap their arms together like that. And I would also have them, quote unquote, talk to their pencils as they wrote. So they would be saying the sounds to themselves as they formed the letters as well. I feel like that's another physical way of getting the sound kind of into their body and then therefore into their brain.
Okay, we've talked about pencil grip and letter formation, and I love these full body activities, like making sure kids' bodies are positioned correctly, tapping your head to remind them to start their letters at the top, and combining movements with letter sounds. Now, let's move on to legibility. I have to say, as a former middle school teacher, it sometimes felt like I was a code breaker trying to read some of my students' work. What is the key to helping kids write legibly?
It starts young, unfortunately. I mean, which isn't to say that you can't help remediate it when students get older, but those motor patterns really get set when kids are young. So it's making sure sort of to not gloss over it. One of the things that can be really challenging is spaces between words.
Right.
What I always did for my kindergartners, and what I still continue to do with some of my students, is I'll give them, there's this really great product. They're called Spacemen. They're like little clothespins that are decorated to look like astronauts. And so you put your spaceman down in between your words instead of a finger in order to make sure that space gets put there. So some of those tools are helpful when kids are young, but a lot of it really does have to do with the spacing and the pacing. Sometimes students really just want to rush through their writing, and legibility becomes the last thing on their mind.
You just brought us to our final handwriting skill, which is pacing. What are the supports or interventions that can help a student with pacing?
I mean, with kindergarten, again, it's practice. But also allowing them to do activities that tap into their creativity. I mean, you know, one of the best ways that I would get handwriting instruction woven in there was when I would do writing workshop with my students, and they were creating their own original stories, and they were doing all these fun drawings, and they were just enjoying the writing process. And that certainly helped with their anxiety and pacing, and they would want to tell those fun, exciting stories. And then I would also argue cursive is way faster than print. And especially for students with dyslexia, because the strokes are all connected, the word then becomes a single unit, and they often will retain their spelling more effectively.
You know, we heard from another teacher in our community named Sherry, and I think she would agree with you. She teaches third, fourth, and fifth graders. She noticed that students who have trouble with printing sometimes have an easier time with cursive.
Definitely. And definitely for my students with dyslexia, you know, the ones that really struggle with reversals, those pretty much disappear once you start with a cursive. Because of how the letter formation works in cursive, you know, all the lowercase letters are starting in the same place. It's none of that confusion about where to start the letter that impacts reversals as well.
Okay, so what I'm hearing you say is that when kids are struggling with printing, even if they don't have learning differences that affect handwriting, cursive might be worth exploring.
Yes.
That is a great tip. Now, Brooke, before we wrap up, I'd like to talk about students with dysgraphia.
Yes.
These are kids who have a lot of good ideas to get on the page, but they might have difficulty gripping a pencil, or they might write very slowly. Their letter sizes and shapes might be irregular, and they also might struggle with spelling. How can teachers support younger students with dysgraphia as they're learning handwriting?
It is important to make sure that you are focusing on their letter formation, but just knowing that they may need some additional accommodations. That doesn't mean to, you know, not keep the expectations high. Make sure they're exposed to the same kind of instruction as their classmates and that they're given the same kind of feedback, but they may need to be allowed to dictate certain parts of it, or they may need to be allowed to use speech to text.
Brooke, I want to wrap up by circling back to something you mentioned earlier about how much time is needed for handwriting instruction. Decades ago, kids spent hours tracing dotted line letters in handwriting workbooks. But you say handwriting lessons can be quick. Will kids still learn the fundamentals of good handwriting with this approach?
Yes, absolutely. Even just with a short, explicit lesson and continued modeling, reinforcement, and encouragement, it is absolutely possible for students to learn the fundamentals of handwriting throughout the school day. Once again, you have to have that priority and not just treat handwriting as a throwaway where it's like, oh, you know, it'll be okay because they're going to move to keyboarding. Our technology has evolved, but we as a species still need handwriting in order to be able to learn more effectively.
And in addition to all of the brain benefits and literacy benefits, handwriting is still a life skill.
Absolutely.
There are still times where things have to be written by hand, even in this high-tech era that we are living in.
Definitely, and I don't see that going away anytime soon.
Here are three things I'm taking away from this conversation. One, handwriting instruction doesn't require a lot of class time. Brooke spent 20 minutes a week teaching the basic skills to her kindergartners. And that's not to say that teaching handwriting is easy. It requires instruction, modeling, and practice. But instead of blocking out a lot of class time for penmanship, you can watch how students are writing and give them quick feedback in the flow of other work. Two, remember that writing is a full body activity. So if a student is struggling, check their posture, how they're positioning their feet, or how their paper is angled. Those adjustments may seem small, but they can make a big difference for kids who are learning to write by hand. And three, to get the most literacy benefits from handwriting, try bringing sound and movement into your instruction. Have students talk to their pencils and make the sound of letters as they write them. Or they can make alligator mouths with their arms to practice the letter A. Teaching handwriting in lower elementary is all about leaning into that powerful connection between the hand and the brain. Special thanks to Brooke McKenzie. She taught lower elementary for a decade, and she's a certified reading specialist. As a private tutor, she specializes in literacy instruction, and she's also an author. We'll link to her books in our episode notes. And if you're curious to learn more about Brooke's approach to teaching handwriting, check out her Edutopia article. It's called How to Teach Handwriting and Why It Matters. Thank you to all the teachers from our community who shared their take on handwriting for this episode. Ben, Eric, Gloria, Heather, Kim, Lauren, Maureen, Mike, Rachel, and Susan. We loved hearing from you. And you don't have to wait for us to ask a question like we did for this episode. Send us a message anytime to share your stories, ideas, and questions. Our email is podcasts@edutopia.org. If you liked this episode, follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And please leave us a rating and a review. This helps others find our show. This episode was produced by Anne Noisani and edited by me. Our engineer is Doug Keeley, and our supervising editors are Sarah Gonser and Steve Merrill. Special thanks to Yuki Torada. I'm Kristen Leong. We'll see you again soon.